Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Thursday, the day in our weekly rhythm where we try to apply and live out what we've been learning all week. This week we've been looking at one of the stories from the Old Testament that's part of God's big epic narrative, the big story. And it's the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, which is why we're here at a garden center, to remind ourselves of humanity's original setting, what we were originally made for, which was to live in a beautiful garden where everything was provided for us. And we had a job to do, caring for that garden and all that was in it. Not in kind of a challenging way, but in a symbiotic way where we were caring for the very things that gave us life, caring for the things that God had given us, being provided for by God, being cared for by God, being loved by God, and loving God in return. That's what we were made for. And we've seen in the stories we've explored this week of how we broke that relationship with God and pushed him away by trying to be God. Eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil wasn't about breaking some arbitrary rule. It was God seeing right into our hearts and seeing that at heart we human beings wanted to be God. We wanted to judge God. We wanted to lord it over God. We wanted to know if God was good or evil. It wasn't about Eve just wanting to be wise and know some cool things. Wisdom was God's gift to give her. She could have wisdom if God gave it to her. But instead, Eve was trying to take God's wisdom. She was trying to take the knowledge of good and evil away from God. That was the problem that broke our relationship with God from then on. This sets the stage for the rest of the Bible, the rest of the history of the world, as a broken relationship between us and God. A broken relationship that had effects on our relationship with the earth and our relationships with one another. Now, I told you yesterday, the minute this happened, there were natural consequences. The human beings had to be banished from the garden and prevented from ever entering again. They weren't going to have that kind of care and provision from God anymore, although he would still care and provide for them. It just wouldn't be quite the same. They would have to work to bring food out of the soil. They would have to deal with thorns and things like that. You can just, in all that imagery, you can really get the sense of how much they were relying on God, even if they didn't realize it, and how much they would now miss that as they tried to be their own gods, and God allowed them to do that. Go, try to manage your own lives. See if you can manage. And of course, they couldn't. Now, the minute this happens, God cares for them. He goes to look for them, first of all, and he finds them. His voice, you can hear the care and concern in it. He gives them clothing to wear rather than just the fig leaves they fashioned. As he sends them away, he gives them some of the basic things they need, like that, some protection from the wilderness. But then, in his words, we can see he already has a plan to fix this forever, to rescue humanity from our sin, from our brokenness. Did you catch it? I asked you yesterday if you could look through the reading that we had on screen and that I read for you and see if you could find where God's plan was already at work. Well, it was this line right here. To the snake, God said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He, Eve's offspring, shall bruise your head, and you, the snake, shall bruise his heel." Well, here we have God describing an epic battle between two representative figures. The snake, who represents evil and Satan, and the future offspring or seed of Eve, the woman, who represented something very different. We can see that there's going to be this epic battle between them, and it won't be evenly matched. It wasn't evenly matched when the snake picked on Eve. And he took her, who, you know, had only heard secondhand that God had, you know, not wanted them to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He picks on her and she falls for it. But now God is saying, someday there's going to be another uneven, unfair battle and you, the snake, will lose. Someday this woman is going to have an offspring who can smash your head, who can break your head. Now do you see where Jesus is? After many, many, many generations, one of Eve's offspring was named Jesus, who was no ordinary man, who was no ordinary man, who was unevenly matched with Satan, who would fall for temptation yet again and sin like any other human being. No, this man, Jesus, was going to be different because he was God in human flesh here on earth to make all this right once again, to destroy the snake's power to tempt people, to deceive them, to ruin God's beautiful creation and the masterpiece of his creation, humanity. This is God's plan. Even the moment Eve and Adam messed it up, God was telling them that he would rescue them, that there would be a way out. That someday, one of her offspring would destroy the power of sin and evil and death by smashing its head like a snake could have its head smashed. I know it's violent imagery, but it's good imagery because it shows us that even though sin and death are like a slithering snake that jumps out from nowhere and can bite our ankles, someday that's all it will be able to do is give a little nip on the ankle, and then Jesus will smash its head in. And sin and death and evil will be no more. This is going to run through the whole Bible. This tension between where we live in sin, in death and temptation, and God's promise that that will all end with Jesus. We're going to see that over and over again in the Old Testament. Story after story, we're going to wrestle with this tension. Why are things so bad? Because someday they will be better. Why aren't things better yet? Because God has a plan and it's coming to fruition in God's timing. We're going to see that over and over again. It's going to be really exciting, and I hope you'll join us for the rest of this series. But in the meantime, we want to figure out, when is this epic battle between the snake and Jesus? Well, I immediately hone in on the cross. That was where Jesus destroyed death's power over humanity, because as a human being, he rose again from the dead and showed death that it wouldn't be the end of human beings from then on. That any human being who wants to live with God in paradise, in a new Garden of Eden for eternity, can have that by turning to him, by living for him, by living in his way, by living under his care and provision like we were always intended to. By turning towards that way of life yet again in Jesus, we can join him for that way of life in eternity, in paradise, in his new Garden of Eden. That's all possible because of what happened on the cross. But then I also look ahead too to the end times. I look ahead to when Jesus is going to come again and his kingdom will become a reality here on earth as it is in heaven, where this world will once again be like the Garden of Eden. That's when his work on the cross will be completed, and when each and every human being will have made their choice to live in God's paradise, in the Garden of Eden, brought back, or to be banished from it, to live outside of its gates. So, it's no surprise that that's described later in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, a little bit in the book of Daniel, as an epic battle between good and evil. Think Lord of the Rings, battle clashing two sides together. It's no surprise that it's described in these prophetic and apocalyptic books as these epic battles, and that Satan is described as a dragon sometimes, and Jesus is described as a lamb, and that ultimately, despite all the crazy imagery that can be hard to understand, the moral of the story is that good will win, evil will lose. Death, evil, sin, the snake, Satan will have its head smashed in. All right, well, here's your challenge for today. It's the beginning of a new year, a time when a lot of people make new resolutions to make better choices this year and things like that. Two things I'd challenge you to think about. In this story, we saw the source of all our broken relationships on earth, broken relationships with one another, our broken relationships with the earth itself, and our broken relationship with God. Resolve this year to make right your relationship with God. Pursue whatever it takes to do that, following these challenges, joining our church community that meets on Sundays called the Family Room. Those are places where you can learn how God wants to make that relationship right with you and how you can accept his invitation. In the meantime, write down a list of resolutions in addition to that that you can make. So once your relationship with God is being pursued, what other relationships can you resolve to work on this year? Is it a broken relationship with another person? Is it a broken relationship with the church that's hurt you before? Is it a broken relationship with the earth, ways that you haven't been taking good care of the things that God created and shares with us? Whatever it is, make a list of resolutions and make sure you can trace them all back to a right relationship with God, because you won't be able to work on any of these if the relationship with God is still broken. Because it's that brokenness is at the core of every brokenness in us and in our world. Well, there's your challenge for today. Have a great time putting some resolutions together. Please share them with your group and discuss with them before we meet again tomorrow for prayer and reflection. Bye for now.